May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. The lesson from 2 Timothy that Yoko read in Japanese so beautifully, thank you, is a context for today. It's so uncanny how texts from so long ago can seem so contemporary. For the time is coming, he wrote, when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. Seems like it could describe here and now in our society, and I want to preach on the gospel and the Old Testament as a way to encounter that reality, as a way to remind ourselves that we have tools to allow us to embody and embrace and encounter the difficulties of our lives by the faith that sometimes withers, sometimes waves, sometimes returns, but is always there as a gift from the God who gave us life. So in today's gospel, Jesus tells the parable of the persistent widow. And in the Bible, if you read it, the title usually says something else. It says the parable of the unjust judge. But that's not what the focus of the parable is. The story isn't about the judge at all. So I always call this the parable of the persistent widow, because it's about the widow, and she is a model of prayer, a faith that refuses to give up. Jesus tells this story, Luke says, so that we might pray always and not lose heart. That is the point of Jesus telling the story. And that's why the widow is the focal point. To pray always and not lose heart. And that, dear friends, is a poignant word for the times when God seems not to hear us, or is taking so long, or is answering our prayers in ways that make them feel like they are unanswered, and when our hearts are tired. So what does prayer look like when God feels far away? Jesus invites us to see the widow herself as the embodiment of prayer. Prayer that is persistent, courageous, and unrelenting, even bothersome, as the judge describes it. So prayer, like discipleship, is not passive. It is a struggle. Sometimes prayer feels like wrestling with God. So we remember Jacob at the stream, wrestling all night long, refusing to let go. I will not let you go unless you bless me, Jacob says. Even injured, he says that. I refuse to let you go unless you bless me. And that wrestling left him limping, but it also left him blessed. When we wrestle with God, we may not walk away the same, but we walk away transformed. The limp becomes a sign of encounter. So discipleship, like prayer, demands persistence. Keep insisting. Keep resisting. Hold on to God, even when it sometimes hurts, because that is where the blessing is found. So I've known many people, including many of you, but I'm not going to use you as an example, whose very lives were a prayer of persistence and faithfulness. One was Father Dean Brackley, who was remembered this week in a prayer in a little saints book that I read. And he was a Jesuit priest and professor at Fordham University. In the early hours of November 16, 1989, during El Salvador's civil war, Salvadoran army commandos invaded the Jesuit-run University of Central America. They brutally murdered six Jesuit priests, along with their housekeeper and daughter. It was one of the most shocking atrocities of that war. When a call went out for Jesuit theologians to replace the slain faculty who had been brutally killed in their sleep, Dean Brackley immediately answered. He left his comfortable life in New York to serve in El Salvador, to teach, to live among the poor, to stand in solidarity with those who suffered, and to stand in the place, a symbol of life, where his colleagues had died. Many, many years ago, when I was leading a pilgrimage there, he opened the chapel so that I could celebrate the Eucharist at that Roman Catholic church or university, breaking all Roman Catholic convention. And he even assisted. He believed those encounters between visitors and people of faith but different denominations and the poor and the rich were holy moments, part of building what he called a culture of solidarity. He once said, "Such visitors learn to see their own reflection in the eyes of their host, no matter how different they are from them." And with that, the ground begins to shift beneath their feet, and it is a sign that the Holy Spirit is nudging them to take up their deepest vocation in life. Dean Brackley urged his students and friends, have the courage to lose control, to not be in control of everything, to feel useless in another culture while hearing another language that you don't understand. Have the courage to lose control, to listen, to receive. Have the courage to let your heart be broken, to feel that pain, and to fall in love again. That is persistence. The persistence of a heart open to God's world, even when it sometimes hurts. Another example. A woman priest I met this summer in El Salvador, just in July, part of the first generation of Salvadoran women priests in the Episcopal Church there. There were none when I worked there decades ago. She told me that simply wearing her collar, her clerical collar, on the bus to work made her a target. People would come up to her and call her a blasphemer, and some said worse things that I won't repeat from the pulpit. Hurtful things. Good Christians, she said, cursed her for daring to follow her call and to wear its symbol, and still she persists. I see that same persistence here, not just in El Salvador, not just with ordained clergy, although those are the examples I used just now, but with all of you who show up with the joys and pains of your life, to be in community, to ask for help, to wrestle with God, to pray for the world, to pray for your enemy, to pray for your best friend, to get to know people you would never know otherwise. I see that same persistence here in this community, your faithfulness, your compassion, your commitment to prayer and to justice and to each other. You persist, and I confess I am proud. Biblical scholar Phyllis Trible once reflected on Jacob's struggle, and her words speak powerfully to this kind of faith. She's talking about her struggle sometimes with difficult passages in the Bible. So she said, Jacob's defiant words to the stranger, "I will not let you go unless you bless me," I take as a challenge from the Bible itself, she says. I will not let go of the book unless it blesses me. I will struggle with it. I will not turn it over to my enemies who wish to curse me with it, nor to my friends who have no use for it. I shall hold fast for blessing, but I am under no illusion that the blessing, if it comes, will be on my terms. Indeed, the storyteller reminds us Jacob was limping because of his hip, wrestling with the words, "To the light I limp." We too limp because prayer, faith, and justice seeking are not easy. Handling grief that this world gives us is not easy. But the limp is the mark of those who have wrestled with God and lived to tell the story. I want to remind you that in our Book of Common Prayer, right in the back, in the outline of faith, it offers this beautiful and simple definition of prayer. It asks in a question and answer form, what is prayer? And the answer, the definition it gives, is that prayer is responding to God by thought and by deeds, with or without words. It's not just the thoughts and prayers, although I don't like that that's being maligned, because thoughts and prayers have power. But that's not all there is. There are words and deeds. There is a silent action. There is a loud action. There is all kinds, because prayer is responding to God by thought and by deeds, with or without words. The description, the catechism, goes on to describe the principal kinds of prayer, and sometimes we forget these. And I think in this day and age, we have to remember to use all of them. We need all of them. Adoration, praise, thanksgiving, penitence, oblation, intercession, and petition. And each of these is a way of holding on to God in form of persistence in love. Adoration is lifting up heart and mind to God, asking nothing but to enjoy God's presence. Have you done that lately? Praise is responding to the sheer goodness of who God is. Thanksgiving we do for the blessings, for redemption, for whatever draws us closer to God, for whatever we're thankful for. Penitence is confession and the courage to amend our lives. Oblation is the offering of ourselves, our lives, our labors to God. It's creating, it's making sandwiches, it's marching, it's doing our homework, it's not arguing with our mother, it's making an origami peace crane, it's making a phone call. It's showing up in so many ways for each other. Oblation, the offering of our lives, ourselves, our labors to God. And intercession is bringing before God the needs of others. And then petition is lifting up our own needs. And like I always say to people, and in that, you can share your anger with God. God can take your anger. If you are suffering or frustrated or hurt, God can handle that. So let it out, because God loves you. Each act of prayer in its own way is the widow knocking, Jacob wrestling, and the disciple refusing to let go. So today, we are invited to pray always and not lose heart, to wrestle with God until the blessing comes, to keep insisting, to keep resisting, to persist in faith, even if we limp away. For the limp, dear friends, is the sign that we have been in the presence of God. Amen.
Amen.